وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا for making all those duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your duas and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your sacrifices. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba, in Radio Al Ansar International. Continuing with anecdotes, stories from the life of Nasruddin. So there's an interesting story about him and it aptly fits many of us today. So one day Nasruddin went to a banquet. As he was dressed rather shabbily, no one let him in. So he returned, he went back home, put on his best robe and fur coat and returned. So immediately the host came over, greeted him and ushered him to the head of an elaborate banquet table. When the food was served, Nasruddin took some soup with a spoon and pushed it to his fur coat and put some pieces of meat, etc. in his pocket. And so everybody was stunned when they saw him doing this, and he said, "Eat my fur coat, eat. It's obvious that you are the real guest of honor today, not me." So there are so many times we look at people, the financial position, and then we tend to give them that sort of respect. And when there's a person who is much poorer maybe, and we do not give him attention as we give to others. So this gives us a lesson that Nasruddin, he wasn't welcomed the first time and no attention was paid to him, but just by the mode of his dressing, and we would say today by the car that you drive and the impression that you set, people will treat you in a different manner. So we must be kind and good to everyone, immaterial of their financial status. I was telling my friends of another story the other day, that there was a group of people sitting and they were having a meal, and one poor person happened to pass wind, and it may just sound so funny, and you know, the host of the house told him, "Aren't you ashamed, you know, for your behavior?" and chased him out of the gathering. And just after a little while, it so happened that it's a human tendency, there was a rich man who couldn't hold it back, and he also let loose some wind. And so they responded by saying, "You know what, it's healthy. You know, when something is bothering in the stomach, then you release it." So two people did the same thing. One was poor and one was rich. But the attitude, you know, and the responses were different. So in life, we've got to be very, very considerate in our behavior. Then there's another story about Nasruddin. A student asked him, "How much does it cost to get married?" And this we may have heard before. So Nasruddin replied, he says, "I don't know. I'm still paying for it." So I have often joke with my wife and I tell her, I said that, you know, the meher and dowry was very, very small. But then you realize that later on in life, you spend so much more than your dowry. So these are the realities of life. And Nasruddin aptly said it. He said, "I don't know, I'm still paying for it." Now we go on to another story, and it's a reflection of the inner self. Mahmud was a very pious man, but he was not very attractive. And one day he was walking along the road, minding his own business, when the lady came up to him and started calling him names and abusing him. This lady kept saying all kinds of nasty things, and Mahmud just listened to her patiently. So finally, when she had finished calling him names and abusing him, Mahmud greeted her, smiled and said, "And a nice day to you," and continued on his way. So why did Mahmud, the pious man, behave this way? He didn't give her what he got. It is because he knew that everything she said was just a reflection of her own inner self. So if you use bad language, you are just making obvious to everybody how far away you really are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since your words are in reality a reflection of your own inner self. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, sil man qata'ak, you know, join with those who break relations with you. You know, wa'afu amman zalamak, and forgive those who make zulm upon you. So you cannot be the same like another person, like a dog, you know, when it bites you, you can't be biting the dog back again. So that's the reality, and that's something that we should learn. An interesting story about $10. And you may have heard this one here, but there's a great lesson for all of us in this year. A man came home from work late, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. "So daddy, may I ask you a question?" "So yes, sure, what is it?" replied the man. So he says, "Daddy, how much money do you make in an hour?" So the father said, "It's none of your business. What makes you ask such a thing?" The man said angrily. So the boy said, "I just wanted to know, please tell me how much you make an hour," pleaded the little boy. So the father said, "Okay, I make $20 an hour." Oh, the little boy replied, head bowed. Looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" Now the father was furious. "If the only reason was you wanted to know how much money I make so you can borrow some to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march straight to your room and go to bed. Think about why you're being so selfish. I work hard and long hours every day and don't have time to rest." So the little boy quietly went to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even madder about the little boy's questioning. How dare he ask such questions only to get some money? After an hour or so, the man had calmed down, and he started to reflect and think, and he thought to himself he may have been a little bit hard on his son. So he said maybe there was something he really needed to buy with the $10, and he really didn't ask for money very often. So this was just once off that he asked for the $10. So the man was very regretful that, you know, he was maybe very harsh on his son. So the man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. And he said, are you asleep, son?" he asked. So the boy said, "No, daddy, I'm awake. I've been thinking maybe I was too hard on you earlier, the father said. "So it's been a long day and I took my aggravation out on you. Here's the $100 you asked for. Here's the $10 you asked for." So anyway, the little boy was straight up beaming. He said, "Okay, jazakallah, daddy. I really appreciate it." Then reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some more crumpled bills. And the man, seeing that the boy already had money, started to get angry again. So the little boy slowly counted out his money, then looked up at the man and his father, and he said, "Why did you want more money if you already had some?" The father grumbled. He says, "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do." The little boy replied, he said, "Daddy, I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time?" Now, there's a very, very great lesson for all of us, that we can give time to the whole world, but we cannot give time to our own children. You know, we come back tired from a day's work, and, you know, we take it out on our children, on our wife. We're moody, and yet the children crave the attention of their parents, especially their father. They've been spending the whole day with their mother. So this young child came up with a novice idea, and he asked his father, what was his father earning for an hour, and he accumulated that much of money to buy an hour of his father's time. So it's very important that we give time, attention, and love and care to those who need it. There are many people at home and outside who need our love and attention, like our siblings, our parents, our grandparents, widows and orphans and poor people. I mean, how often have we thought about orphans in our locality? Then let's take them out for a weekend. Or let's send our wives to some widows and see what they can assist them with. So we should be considerate, you know, in the relationship with all those around us. And that is what Islam teaches us. So we should give them time, love, attention, care, food, and share knowledge with them. We should do it before they have to resort to asking for a $10 bill. So that was something very, very interesting. Here's a very, very interesting story as well. It's a frail old man. He went to live with his son, daughter-in-law, and a four-year-old grandson. Now, I hope you pay a little attention. If you're doing anything, just put it aside and listen to the story. So the old man's hands trembled. His eyesight was blurred, and his step faltered. The family ate together every night at the dinner table, but the elderly father, grandfather's shaky hands and failing sight made eating rather difficult. The peas rolled off his spoon onto the floor. When he grasped the glass, milk spilled on the tablecloth. The son and daughter-in-law became irritated with the mess. "So we must do something about father," said the son. "I've had enough of his spilled milk, noisy eating, and food on the floor." So the husband and wife set a small table in the corner. Their grandfather ate alone while the rest of the family enjoyed dinner at the dinner table. So since grandfather had broken a dish or two, his food was served in a wooden bowl. So sometimes when the family glanced in grandfather's direction, he had a tear in his eye as he ate alone. Still, the only words the couple had for him were sharp admonitions when he dropped a spoon or spilled some food. So the four-year-old watched it all in silence. Now remember, all our actions are observed by our children. So one evening before supper, the father noticed his son playing with wood scraps on the floor. So he asked the child sweetly, "What are you making?" Just as sweetly, the boy responded, "Oh, I'm making a little bowl for you and mama to eat your food in when I grow up." So the four-year-old smiled and went back to work. The words so struck the parents that they were speechless. Then tears started to stream down their cheeks. Though no word was spoken, both knew what must be done. So that evening, the husband took the grandfather's hand and gently led him back to the family table. So for the remainder of his days, he ate every meal with the family, and for some reason, neither the husband nor the wife seemed to care any longer when anything was dropped or when the milk spilled or the tablecloth was soiled. So children are remarkably perceptive. And in this instance here, it was a child. It took a four-year-old to teach his parents, you know, what the respect for their parents should be like, and his grandparents. So their eyes always observe, their ears always listen, and their minds always process the messages they absorb. If they see us patiently provide a happy atmosphere for family members, they will imitate that attitude for the rest of their lives. And today we have found quite commonly that the parents who cared for us, I mean, who changed our nappies, our mothers, a father worked from morn till night, and he cared for his child, for his children, and he gave them education, and he brought them up, giving them the good manners, giving them Islamic education and everything. And then when you find when they grow old, they are placed in old age homes, something that we never ever knew in our country. And you find that this has become quite common nowadays, that there are old age home facilities, you know, for elderly people. And yet they have so many relatives in their family, so many nephews, so many nieces, you know, so many brothers and sisters. But when you laugh, then there's a lot of people that laugh with you. When you cry alone Indeed, there is a great lesson in this for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making amal, realize what is right, and save ourselves from whatever is wrong. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.